Sunday on our four-part series for our Advent series, and the series is entitled The Four Women That Matthew Mentioned. Last week we looked at Tamar, and today we look at Rahab. Now Rahab starts off with a disadvantage in life. Why do I say that? Because for centuries, Jewish men, and we know that the Jews are the people of God, Jewish men would pray this prayer every day. Lord God, I thank you that I'm not born a woman, that I'm not a slave, and that I'm not born a Gentile. Now what is a Gentile? A Gentile is any nation, any tribe, any person who is not a Jew. So, if you are South African, or Polish, or British, or French, or Canadian, you'll be a Gentile. Anyone who's not Jewish is a Gentile. So the prayer that every Jewish man would pray for centuries, every day, would be, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not a woman, I'm not a slave, and I'm not a Gentile. Now, Rahab was in trouble, because Rahab was, number one, a woman. Number two, she was a Gentile. She was from Canaan. She was a Canaanite. And then she wasn't a slave, but you know what she was? She was a prostitute. And on the status scale, that's pretty much the same as a slave. So she had three strikes against her. She started off with a disadvantage in life. Maybe some of you can relate to that. I don't know. Maybe you all started off on the highest level of life. Maybe you started off with lots of money and status and a good family name. And you were smart and beautiful and athletic and everything that people look at in this life and they think, well, that's good to have. But maybe you were not. Maybe you were more like 99% of all people. But here's the thing about Rahab. Is that she didn't have anything to commend her, but God took pity on her. God had mercy on her. And by God's grace, He lifted her up. And today her name is amongst the four women in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's the most beautiful thing. And you know what that means? It means that if God can do this for Rahab, He can do this for you and me. And He did this by grace. Not because she achieved it, or not because she was worthy to receive it, but because of God's grace. So that's the message for today. Let's turn and read from the book of Joshua what happens to Rahab. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills, so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Rahab. And we thank you for the grace that you have shown to her. And we know, Lord, that because you had shown her grace, you will show us grace. I pray, Lord, that this message of your grace and your hope and the salvation that is in Jesus Christ will be heard by us today. Would you be here with your powerful word? And would you change our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer to you, I pray. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one thing that we need to know is what was the lay of the land. As you can see, you have the Dead Sea at the bottom, and you have a blue line running from the top to the bottom, which is the Jordan River. Just on your left-hand side of the Jordan River, you see the city of Jericho. And just to the left of Jericho, you see it right on the edge, some mountains over there. That's the lay of the land that we need to know. Because the spies came from the west, from the east side of the Jordan. They went through the Jordan to Jericho, to Rahab's house. Then when the soldiers came from the king, she told the spies, "I'm going to let you down through the window for you to escape. But don't go back to the river, because the soldiers are going to go there and they will intercept you. Be smart. Go to the mountains. Go to the other side where they will not expect you to go. And hide out for 3 days. When the soldiers have gone back into the city, that's when you can go and cross the river." Now the mountains there, you can see in front of the picture there, you see the ruins of the old Jericho. And then in the background you see the mountains. That's what she was urging them to do. Go to those mountains and go and hide yourself there. Because the soldiers would not suspect that. They are going to go to the river. Because they think you will go over to the other side. Now those mountains have got tons and tons of caves in them. This is a picture of those mountains, and you see the caves that are in there, and then you can see some buildings there. That's a monastery, and it's called the Monastery of Temptation. Because the tradition is that it was in those mountains where Christ was tempted by Satan for 40 days after his baptism. So that monastery is built on that mountain, and that's where she wanted these spies to go and hide. The question that many of us ask when we read this is why? Why, Rahab, are you turning on your own people to help these spies? I mean, she was a traitor, right? She knew that this army on the other side of the river was planning to come and to demolish Jericho. They were planning to come and kill everyone in the city. All her friends, all her family, all the people she'd ever known would be killed. Why does she turn against them to help these spies? That's the question. And then the second question that leads from that is then, why is she saved? Because God had already told the Israelites to destroy the whole city because the whole city was under judgment. Why was Rahab the one and her family that were saved? And the answer to both those questions is one word. Faith. Faith is the reason that she turned against her own people and put her trust and her faith in God Almighty. And faith was the reason why God chose to save her. Because God loves faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the book of Hebrews, this is the genealogy of Matthew. Because how the story ends, of course, is that she is saved. But after she was saved, she was taken in and became part of the Jewish people. What happened was she married a guy with the name of Salmon. Now, it's not a fish. It was a guy named Salmon. He was the father of Boaz. And Boaz was the father of Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. So this makes Rahab the great-grandmother of the famous King David. Can you see how her life changed from being a Gentile prostitute who was nothing in the social scale of things, and now she was elevated to becoming the great-grandmother of King David himself? What a change in fortune. She who had no husband and no family was given a husband, was given a family, and was actually given a legacy. Do you know that people from every nation know about Rahab? People through all generations. Everyone who reads the scriptures know about Rahab. What a change in fortune done because of her faith. In the book of Hebrews then, it writes and it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Confidence in what we hope for. Assurance about what we cannot see. She put her faith and her hope in the God of Israel. She had heard the stories how the God of Israel had brought his people out of Egypt. How they went through the Red Sea on dry land. How the Egyptian army was destroyed when the sea came back and killed everyone. How the God of Israel helped them against the two kings, Sihon and Og. She had heard those stories. You know what's sad? Many of us hear those same stories today. People have heard the stories about the Bible, about the God of Israel. But not many people put their faith in that. That's what she did. She heard those stories, but she put her faith in that. She said, you know what? I believe that. And I think that this God who did that is going to help His people when they come to our city. And I think that He is going to destroy this city. And I think that my only hope of salvation is to put my faith in that God. One thing you can say about Rahab, she was smart. But I do believe that she was given grace by God. Because why did she believe this? Why did this faith come up inside of her? Why did she have this surety to be sure enough to actually turn against her own people? It's by the grace of God. And I believe it's because God had prepared her for this. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. By faith, because she welcomed the spies. Why by faith? Why is faith such a big deal? You know, when I think about that, it's got to be by faith. It can't be any other way, right? When you think about the gospel, what is the gospel? It's about these people in this city, Jericho, who were doomed for destruction. The scripture says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But let me read you something from Genesis chapter 6. And this is before the flood came. It says that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. People think evil thoughts all the time. Do you understand that we think of ourselves as good people, but actually, evil comes naturally to us. Like water that always flows downward. It is easier for us to do what is wrong than what to do what is right. It takes less energy. It takes less thought. We could do it so easily. I can sin with the best of them. Now, what is God supposed to do? It pains him. And the justice that is supposed to happen is they're supposed to be, these people who do this all the time are supposed to be destroyed. Now what happens if God destroys Jericho, but then the next city is evil again and God has to destroy them? And the next city is evil again and God has to destroy them? And the next city and the next city, because all people are naturally given to evil. Where will that end? God will keep on destroying each and every city. As long as they start up new cities, God will be destroying cities. So the plan of salvation, the beautiful plan that God has made, is to say, you know what? What I'm going to do is, I'm not going to kill the whole city. I'm going to kill a representative of the city. I'm going to kill one person who will be the representative of the city. What I will do is I will take all the evil of the city and I will place it on one person. And then when I kill that person, it will bring freedom for the city. Now, if you do this at one point in time, You can choose a representative for a city. That person can be killed on behalf of the city. But what about people who live in other generations? You see, the only way that people from other generations can profit by the same death of this one person is by faith. When they hear about that person, when they hear about what God had done to take all the evil from the whole city and place it on this one person, when they hear about that, and when they have faith that that is also for their benefit, that is the only way where one person can save people throughout all generations. It has to be by faith. And so what God does is He understands that He's going to have to kill people from every city and every time. And instead of doing that, He's saying, I'm going to choose one person. But the person I'm going to choose is going to be my son. My only son. And I will take all the evil of all time and I will place it on this son of mine. Incidentally, the son of mine who is perfect and who has done nothing wrong. He who knows no evil will be the bearer of all evil of all time. Then when I kill him, I have done justice. And all people from all cities and all time who are actually evil can be set free because of this one death. But here's the thing. Rahab believed what she did not see. This one death that God, when He kills His Son Jesus on the cross, this one death that pays for the sin of the whole world, of all time and all place, that death needs to be believed. That death needs to be appropriated by people living in different times and in different places. And it is only by faith that that death can be in my stead. That I could say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You came, even though You were sinless and perfect, and that You came and took my sin and everyone else's sin on You, and that when You died, You paid it all. And if I do that, then like Rahab, by faith, I will be justified. I will be declared righteous. And I will become a follower of Jesus Christ. Why do I say a follower? Because when Rahab helps the spies, James talks about that. He says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. God's plan of salvation was to take all the evil of all time and place it on one man who would be a representative who would die for everyone. Now when we put our faith in that, we are on our way to salvation. But if our faith does not translate into deeds, into action, then James says that faith is dead and that faith cannot save you. What Rahab did is when she had this faith in this God of Israel, she declared, I said, You are the God of heaven and earth. That's what I believe. But it didn't stop there. It went into action. She put her life on the line. She took that risk. She could have been killed as a traitor. If those soldiers had searched her house, she'd be dead now. We wouldn't be talking about Rahab. That's the action that she took. What is the action that we take when we become Christians? We live in a different time and place, but you know what we need to do? Is when we put our faith in Christ, when we say, well, that death was for me, my action then should be to follow Christ, to become a disciple of Christ, to study Him, to learn from Him, to follow Him in what I do and how I live my life. Those are the actions that would confirm that my faith is real, that my faith is alive and not dead, that my faith will save me. You know the thing about Rahab that strikes me when I think about what she did, is that her whole life changed in one day. There was one moment where she made a decision. A decision to help these spies. And that one moment changed everything for her. It changed everything not only for her, but for Jericho, for her city that she lived in. It changed even the lineage, the family tree of Jesus Christ who was born from her. It changed her legacy. It changed absolutely 360 degrees around her. Everything changed because of that one decision that she made. And you know what? She made that decision because she recognized the timing of it. She knew this was the moment that I have to... These things that I had heard about this God of Israel, this was the moment when I have to do something about that which I had heard about. And in that moment, she made the decision to go ahead and to trust and to have faith in that God that you heard about. What about you? Maybe this is your moment. Maybe as we are speaking right now, maybe this is the moment now when this God that you have heard about is close, is here with us, and is asking you to take that step, to make that one decision that will change your whole life. I'm going to give you a minute just to pray by yourselves. Let's everyone close their eyes. If this is your moment, if you feel that this is the time now when God is close and when He's asking you to make that decision, the God that you have heard about, to by faith put your trust in Him, then why don't you do so now? Pray to Him. Tell Him that you know that you don't deserve to be called His son or His daughter, but that you are willing to believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, took all your sin upon Him, paid the price for everything, and that you therefore now can gain the benefit of that. That you are willing to enter into that by faith. Father God, I thank You for Your glorious gospel, which is a gospel of grace, and it's a message of love that You have for us. That You do not want to condemn us, but You want to save us. And to make that happen, You have given us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our representative, to take all our evil upon Him and to die for us, to pay the price once and for all. And this morning, Lord, as we come before You, we just place our faith in You. We place our faith in Your gospel. We place our faith in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, our faith and our prayer this morning is that our faith will be real. It will be a saving faith. that is alive and well. And I pray, Lord, that we would follow you and become your disciples. And that those actions would confirm the faith that's in our hearts. May your name be glorified this morning. And as we come to your table, may we remember that it's by your death that we have been set free. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. And if anyone wants to talk to me after the service about what we spoke about today, I will be available. Thank you.